be a potential deterioration in their deen. So the ulama suggested, the scholars of our deen suggested establishing a barrier between the men and the women. Right? They said one way to get around this issue of improper hijab, we've been trying, we've been telling the males, lower your gaze, it doesn't happen. Some of the males inadvertently, their gaze goes in the wrong direction. We've been trying, we've been telling the women, come dressed modestly. Unfortunately, a few of the women come dressed immodestly, or they may not have that same background and same experience that we have. They may be coming to the masjid for the first time, or they may rarely come to the masjid. And so, how can you convince them? It takes time, right? So, basically, the scholar said the way around this is to establish a barrier between the men and the women. There should be a distinct area for the males, there should be a distinct area for the females, and there should be an absolute barrier between the males and the females. Alright? So that's also a way of translating hijab, which basically means barrier. Now, that has been our tradition throughout the entire Muslim world, across time and across culture. Throughout the entire Muslim world, you go to various places and various times and you look historically and you'll see that that division has existed throughout our time and across our cultures in order to protect the masjid and to keep it a place of purity. Now, one of the arguments that people come up with, and they say, is that how can you put up something that didn't exist during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So here the scholar said, one way to solve the issue is to put up a barrier between men and women. So how can you advise, how can the scholars advise that a barrier be put up between men and women when a barrier did not exist during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Okay, granted, there was no barrier per se during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that there was no wall dividing the men and the women. Okay, but there definitely, number one, was distance. It's very clear from hadith that there was big distance between the males and the females. It comes in one hadith, for example, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was giving the Eid khutbah, he gave the Eid khutbah to the males, led them in the prayer, and when he was done, he went to the females and also then gave them a talk. Now, if the females were close, they would have been able to hear the first talk to begin with. They wouldn't have needed a second talk. But actually, they were separated in distance, so he went and he gave them a separate talk. So that was one type of distance or hijab that existed. The other thing is concerning the barrier in general. Alright, this, the one barrier. We know clearly from hadith, alright, sahih hadith, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha from the book of Imam Bukhari, that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says that the women at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to come to Fajr and they used to come to Isha. And no one could recognize them because they came veiled and because of the darkness of the time. Because they came veiled and because of the darkness of the time in which they would come. Now, let me ask you this simple question. If there's 70 women praying and each one of them is wearing a veil, what's the difference between 70 individual curtains and one big curtain? Right? So there was actually, in effect, a barrier between the men and the women. Instead of one big one, there were 70 small ones, right? That's clear from hadith. So actually there is a precedent present within the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have a barrier between men and women. And the vast majority of traditional scholars have ruled that this is the best way to maintain hijab so that the women can come and benefit, right? And so that the males can come and purify themselves. Now, the one issue that remains, and that needs to become very clear in your mind, is that there are some fatawa from some scholars, in particular from Saudi Arabia, which rule that there should not be a barrier because there was not a barrier at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you need to understand their principle of fiqh in order to understand why they ruled in this way. Their principle of fiqh is that anything that did not exist at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a bid'ah. If it wasn't at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and you try to institute it, it automatically becomes a bid'ah, and there is no concept there of a good bid'ah or a bad bid'ah. They just say it's a bid'ah, it's impermissible, you should not do it. Alright? So that's why you have those particular rulings. And what's interesting is if you read through those rulings, for example, if you read through their rulings, this group of scholars that ruled this way, And then you read some more of their rulings. In the same rulings, they say other things. Like, for example, in the same ruling, they'll say there should be no lines within the masjid. You see these lines that we have, like, on the carpet? They say there should be no lines within the masjid. Why? Because at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba needed to straighten their lines, and they didn't make lines on the floor, so you should not make lines on the floor, that's a bid'ah. Right? So if you're going to take their methodology, you have to take their methodology with two gulps. The first gulp is you have to be consistent. So then there's no lines, there's no clocks, etc. Okay? Because these things didn't exist.